is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And today, another candidate interview. We're talking to as many of the candidates as possible running for governor on both sides of the aisle, and joined this afternoon by former House Speaker, Democratic candidate for governor, Tina Kotek. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. It's great to be here.
So first of all, give folks a little bit about your background and life growing up.
Oh, thank you for that question. Well, I moved to Eugene in 1987. I grew up on the East Coast, and like a lot of folks, moved west to kind of, you know, start over, and ended up going back to school at the University of Oregon. I had dropped out of college, and when I came to Eugene, I wasn't planning to go back, but I ended up doing that, so I am a Duck. And really, Oregon has provided such a wonderful opportunity for me to be who I am. 20 years ago, my job was at the Oregon Food Bank, traveling around the state, trying to figure out, you know, what was keeping people from being able to buy food. And, you know, it's some of the same issues we have today. People not earning enough, working hard, but not making enough to get by. People, you know, not having access to affordable health care. So those are the types of issues that have been really front and center for me. And even before I was elected for office, so I've been working a lot on issues that are really pocketbook issues, cost of housing, cost of health care, and has really been front and center for my work in the legislature. I was in the Oregon House for 15 years, representing North and Northeast Portland, and Speaker of the House for 9 years.
So what led to getting into politics, running for office to begin with, especially with your work at the food bank?
Well, you know, it's not something I had planned. I like public policy. I like solving problems for people. And I started off at Oregon Food Bank, and I would go to Salem and talk to elected leaders about what people needed. You know, they needed to be able to afford their child care, or making sure, you know, they could afford their housing. And then one day, you know, there was an open seat, and someone said, well, maybe you should do that, because, you know something about state politics and doing good things. And so I got into running for office. I also thought at the time it was very important for women to be running for office. We didn't have that many women in the Oregon legislature at the time, and it was really important to have more diversity in the Oregon legislature. You want your elected leaders to look like the entire state, and that includes, you know, equal numbers of men and women in the legislature.
So during that 15 years, what are some of the highlights for you?
I have been very blessed with the opportunity to make things better for people. And certainly that got even more, you know, being Speaker of the House really gives you an opportunity to lead on very important issues. I would say for me, some of my top issues were raising the minimum wage. You know, we ended up doing that in a regional fashion, but the entire state saw an increase in the minimum wage. And that was really important to put, you know, for people to be able to put food on the table. I've been very interested in making sure people have access to health care. So because of my work, not only do all of Oregon's kids have access to health insurance under the Oregon Health Plan if they need it, so does every adult. And, you know, we know that our communities will be healthier when people have access to health care. And I've been doing a lot of work on housing, and there's more work to do there, from building more housing to helping people who are living on the street to just making sure whatever housing we do have, keep it affordable, because that is really important for everybody in every part of the state.
So how did you get from being a representative? What pushed you towards ultimately being Speaker?
That's a good question. I'm going to say this goes back to my parents in some ways, because, you know, when you're growing up, and my parents were always like, you got to give back. You know, if you're able to make a difference, you need to do it. I really believe in public service. And, you know, when I came into the legislature, I was just really focused on doing my public policy, just making sure I could solve problems, you know, pass good bills. And then it became really obvious to me that you also have to have people in charge that are focused on people. And that's why I decided to be the caucus leader. That's why I decided to, you know, be the speaker, because I always want to put people first and making sure that, you know, you can get really, Yeah, you can get really caught up in the politics of Salem and just, you know, all the ins and outs of being, you know, in state government. But for me, my question is always, how does this make someone's life better? How will this improve things for this family or this part of the state? How can we make a difference? And by being Speaker of the House, I get to have those questions with the governor directly, with the Senate president directly. It really does change the discussion when that is your focus.
So having all that responsibility as Speaker, what interested you about the office of governor?
Well, the last 2 years, I think, has been tough on all of us, right? We've all kind of looked back and looked at what we were doing with our lives and tried to decide, well, is this what I want to keep on doing? And for me, I really did come back to, well, how can I best serve the state? 2 years of really difficult challenges for everybody because of the pandemic. I have experience bringing people together, solving problems on a whole host of issues. And there's a lot of crises still out there. Housing crisis, the climate crisis, communities being ravaged by wildfires. There are a lot of things we need to do in the state. And I feel like my job is to bring my skill set of I'm a good listener. I know how to bring people together to have hard conversations. And I know once you figure out what the solution is, I know how to get it done. And as governor, I will have the ability to do that, leading our state agencies, convening conversations. As governor, you really get to the power to bring people together for important conversations is just a big deal. And that, I think, with my experience and that ability, that is, I think, what, is going to be important in the next couple of years. We're not out of the pandemic completely, and everybody is still struggling to kind of get back to normal. And I'd like to be able to be helpful there.
So how would you describe the role of the governor?
I think the governor is a chief convener. They're the chief CEO. They're the CEO of the state. They have to make sure that the agencies who report to them function efficiently, effectively, transparently, making sure that government is actually working for people. It's about management. I think it's also about sharing a vision of putting people first, making sure that every part of the state is successful. And being a chief cheerleader for the whole state when it's, when you're working in D.C. or even internationally, you end up representing the state and on trade trips, being that person who believes 100% in Oregon's ability to be successful.
What are your top priorities, or what would they be if you're elected governor?
As governor, the first thing for me in the first 60 days, for sure, is to do everything I can to help our local governments have what they need. When it comes to homelessness, we all have neighbors we don't want to see living on the streets or living in their trucks. That is true around the state. So I would, in the first 60 days, really focus on that, meeting with local leaders, trying to figure out what they need. And then housing on top of that. It's not just about houselessness. It's about how do we get more people into housing. So housing and houselessness will be my number one priority in the first year of my me being governor. And then otherwise, I think it's making sure that every part of the state has what they need, getting on the road, talking to people, just reading today about all the issues around drought and fire. I know that's going to be a big issue for Douglas County. I look forward to coming down, meeting with folks that are leaders in your community to try to figure out how we can be partners. The state needs to be a partner with every place in the state.
And what are some of the other priorities you have if you're elected?
Well, I do think it's important to make sure we all focus on climate. We are all seeing that the climate is changing. So it's really two things right now, making sure we protect communities around the front lines who are most impacted by changing weather patterns from drought or fire or, heat waves, making sure communities have what they need. Douglas County is, Douglas County is certainly that part of the state where you know what it means when there's a fire. So how do we help communities be more resilient, more protected? Because these things are going to continue to happen. And then the other part of climate is, as a state, continuing to do everything we can to keep it from getting worse, which means trying to figure out how we all get into cleaner vehicles. I was just reading there's going to be a new electric pickup truck. You know, that's going to be obviously a game changer for parts of the state where you need to have a pickup truck. And so I want to work with every part of the state on climate and what that looks like. I'm particularly interested in making sure we can keep carbon out of the atmosphere by our agricultural practices, our forest practices. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for rural Oregon to be a big player in helping us reduce our carbon emissions here in the state to help us fight climate.
More when we come back with Democratic candidate for governor, former Oregon House Speaker Tina Kotek. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 and Inside Douglas County, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. Kelly Leonard will join us along with Liz Lawrence, the philanthropic advisor for the Oregon Community Foundation. We'll be talking about money the foundation has directed towards Douglas County in the past year. On Wednesday, we'll be talking to State Representative Cedric Hayden and another candidate for governor on Thursday. Tobias Reed will be with us on Inside Douglas County. Former Oregon House Speaker, Democratic candidate for Governor Tina Kotek on with us now. I guess my next question would be, what would your style be in working with the Oregon legislature if you're elected?
Yeah, well, I will have the benefit of knowing quite a few of the Oregon legislators who will be there. Although, you know, every year you see quite a bit of turnover in the Oregon House and the Oregon Senate. It is a part-time legislature. You know, understanding the legislative process, I think, will be important. And I'll be honest, I'm really interested in making sure our state agencies work. I will obviously be supportive of making sure the legislature does their job. But as governor, I think it's more about being that person who works in other parts of the state, talking to folks and helping the folks in Salem understand what Oregonians around the state actually need. I like working with my Republican colleagues. I'll give you an example. You know, I enjoyed so much working with former Representative Gary Leaf. So sad when he passed away. He and I worked together to get some resources to Roseburg to work on a 24/7 shelter and navigation center for people who are struggling with houselessness. And when he passed away, I followed up with Representative Goodwin and said, let me know how I can be helpful. What do you need? You know, I understand the process. How can we make sure Roseburg continues to move forward on their goals? And she's been great. She's been keeping me up to date on things that are happening there. That style of collaboration and really making sure every part of the state is successful is something that I did as speaker and something I'm very committed to as governor. And honestly, I've been on, you know, I was just in Bend last week doing the same thing. I was meeting with people who are running shelters and people who are building affordable housing, hearing from them what they're doing and hearing from them about, well, how can the state be a good partner? That's the kind of style that I'm going to bring to working with my colleagues in the legislature, but also as governor working with people outside of Salem, because that is really important to do right now.
How is the state of Oregon doing financially?
You know, very well, actually. I think there have been strong budget practices. Certainly, when I was speaker, I made sure we had reserves. I made sure we had rainy day funds. We, for this session that just wrapped up last week, hundreds of millions of dollars in unexpected revenue that could then go out into communities across the state to help people. Financially, we're in a pretty good position. We have a high credit rating, which means our interest rates are low when we want to borrow money. We're one of the most financially, budgetary-wise, sound governments in the country from a state government perspective. And that's a good place to be because we're not worried about financial crisis. Our hardest challenge right now is how best to use the resources you have so you get the outcomes you want.
What about shifts that you would propose for the state budget?
I think one of the biggest important things about doing a state budget, and as governor, I will have to do I am required to do a recommended budget, and as I come in as the new governor, we'll do one soon for the 2023 session. I think it's important to understand how the dollars are actually working. I'll give you an example. When we invest last year, I made sure we invested close to $500 million for mental health services and substance abuse treatment around the state. It's difficult to go back and ask for new money on top of that unless you know exactly how it's being spent. So my first question as the governor will be, okay, how has that money been spent? Have you improved access? Have people gotten the care they needed? Is it easy to get the care? And if the answer is yes, and here's why we need more money, then we should ask for more money. But until we know that the money is being spent well and effectively, then it's very hard to come back and ask for more. And I think as Oregonians, we need to know that the money we have in the system is actually doing the job we have set it up to do. And so I will be asking those kind of questions, and I think that's how you build a sound budget. You want to make sure that the money is actually getting the job done.
How do you think the business community would evaluate state government?
I think that they would say that sometimes things take too long. And I would agree with that. I think that we have a lot of good, wonderful people working in state government, truly public servants, and they live all around the state. Well, we have sometimes a lot of process to get to implementing regulations, and they shouldn't take so long. I'll give you one example. A few years ago, I was working with my colleague out of Klamath Falls, and we were talking about an employer who wanted to expand. And he's like, look, they just want to be able to expand, but because the agency doesn't have enough staff, they can't get their permit fast enough to move forward. And we need to be timely. What the private sector needs is us as a state government to move as quickly as possible, following all the rules, following all the regulations, but moving forward in a timely fashion. So, you know, because time is money, right? You need to be able to have answers as quickly as you can. And that's a management issue. That's a resource issue. But state government needs to be a strong partner with the business community to do the work. Not less regulations, but well-managed regulations so people can, you know, be safety. That safety is important and health and safety is important. But you need to be able to move forward when you're a business. You need to have clear answers.
One topic that hasn't come up as much recently, but kind of a historic topic in Salem, the public employees retirement system. What do you think about the future of PERS, and are there any shifts that need to be made?
Yeah, PERS is a very important system for public employees around the state, both retirees and current active employees. We have a very sound system. There have been some hard choices over the years to make sure it's stable. But right now, it's a stable system. It meets the needs of our public employees. And in the near term, I don't see any reason to make any changes. You know, we took a big hit in the system because of the Wall Street crash during the Great Recession. Things have stabilized, and it is important to, you know, when you make a promise to a public employee that there will be a retirement, you got to make sure it's there. I feel good about the system right now. I think it's stable, and I don't see any changes on the horizon for it.
What about the state role of managing state-owned forests and then also input to the federal government on how federal forests in Oregon should be managed?
Yeah, well, as governor, I'll be on the land board and having a higher role to play in natural resources. It's important for the federal government to be a better neighbor. We know that when a fire breaks out on federal land, sometimes the response isn't as good. They don't manage their lands as well in terms of making sure how fire prone they are. As governor, I will be having very frank conversations with the federal government to make sure they're doing their role. A strong Department of Forestry is important to make sure we manage our state assets, also protect them when there are fires. We have a very responsive state agency. The legislature just passed a historic the private forest accord to balance conservation interests and timber interests. I think that's going to help us moving forward to manage our forests in a way that can achieve a lot of the goals that we all have as Oregonians, both natural habitat, natural beauty, and economic value. I think we're on a good path to balance all those things.
How's Oregon doing in terms of the state education system, and what changes would you make?
Yeah, well, in 2019, I led the way to making sure we could pass, for the first time in 30 years, a dedicated tax to our pre-K through 12 system. Our schools and our early education systems needed more resources. So the Student Success Act that I helped pass in 2019 is adding $1 billion more per year to pre-K through 12 here in Oregon. Clearly, the pandemic has really adjusted everything in unanticipated ways. As things get back to normal, we'll be able to see the full impact of that those additional dollars. One of the things that's important for me in the student success investments is the focus on social and emotional support for our students. Pandemic has been challenging for our kids. They're still dealing with a lot of trauma from everything that has happened in the world around them. We need to make sure we can put money into schools to make sure there are school nurses and school counselors and folks who can make sure if students are adjusting or having some problems adjusting to the world, that they will have those supports so they can graduate and be successful in school. That's what the Student Success Act brought into our schools, with $1 billion more per year for our schools. The other thing I would say is I think we really need to have a hard conversation about how often we have to do standardized testing. What I hear from educators is it takes a lot of time away from other instruction that we need to be doing. So I look forward to having that conversation with schools across the state.
All right, out of time for now. Democratic candidate for Governor Tina Kotek, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle, and you have an awesome day.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.